This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
If you don't want to hear real facts on social and political issues, then stop listening now. Otherwise, stay right here for real issues, real facts, with real people.
Accelerate your culturalization of America.
But when the Dems use the argument that we're all immigrants, but, you know, I want to turn into the Tasmanian devil with two clubs in my hand to clear the roof. They were immigrants that came here because they wanted to be here. They wanted to learn the American. They wanted the American dream. You cannot get the American dream speaking Spanish.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
I'm going to deal with topics and issues that will make you think, make you mad, maybe even get you a little embarrassed. Don't go anywhere. The lines are open. You can reach me at 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563.
You always so stupid. Did you take lessons?
You're just despicable.
No, I'm not. I'm actually a pretty nice guy. I'm Joe Messina, your host, listening to Real Side of GCN Live. Now, always a pleasure to have you with me. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Look, I set up a pre-record of Bill or William Federer. Now, if you don't know who Bill Federer is, you really need to do a little bit of William Federer, excuse me. You need to do a little bit of Googling on him, because I got to tell you, the guy is a genius. He's a constitutional genius, all right? Look him up online. You'll find out he's an American writer. Federer was born in 57. He's about my age, and he's raised in the South, in St. Louis, in the south of St. Louis, Missouri. He is definitely what we would refer to as a middle child, right? He's the fifth child of 11. Think about that one. Right? Would you want to be in that family? So, anyway, he's written several books. He is he's a nationally known speaker. He's a best-selling author. He's the president of Amerisearch, Inc. It's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Not the one that you keep are being sold on a regular basis, but actually a noble heritage. We are a good country. We are a solid country. You know what? There isn't a country on this planet that is as giving and loving, as caring as we are. And I know some of you are in the corner now throwing up. Good luck to you. I don't really care, frankly. And Bill's, one of Bill's first books, America's God and Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, he sold 500,000 copies of this. Man, I'd like to sell 500,000. Well, actually, we're there already. If you want my book, Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy, you can find that up at the website, therealside.com. Also, American Minute, Events of American Significance Remembered on the Date They Occurred. It's another book you need to get your hand on. Right? I mean, think about where we are now. He's written a book called Backfired as well. It's a nation born for religious tolerance, but we no longer tolerate religion. You know, that's the other thing. I really think it's funny. We constantly hear about separation of church and state. Right? When in reality, it's not supposed to infringe upon us living out our faith as well. Story for another day, though. And years ago, before it actually happened, he wrote a book called Endangered Speeches, How the ACLU, IRS, and LBJ Threatened and and the extinction of free speech. Right? You think about that. We seriously, with everything coming at us, we no longer can have free speech. Just think about what's going on with you today. This was written way back when. Some of these books were written before we were actually even having these problems. And guys like Federer saw it coming down the pike. He saw it happening now. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. You know, many national sheriffs, or many of our nation sheriffs, but, you know, sheriffs across the nation, call the California sanctuary state law reckless, dangerous. Even law enforcement officials from within the state are doing the same thing. Now, what's really funny is they got to go out of their way to find these guys. They have to find hardcore lefty Democrat sheriffs that'll agree with the sanctuary state, sanctuary city, sanctuary county kind of things. But when they sit down and talk to actual law enforcement officials, not people that are in it for politics, but law enforcement officials, it's all a different animal. The 20,000-member National Sheriff's Association, the NSA, says that California, I'd get rid of those initials, says California's new sanctuary state law is dangerous, reckless, and an obstruction of their efforts to protect the public. The law signed by Governor Jerry Brown prohibits police from participating in federal immigration enforcement. They can't help them. They can't inquire about a person's immigration status. Now think about what that does to the federal law enforcement people. And don't give me the stuff that it actually makes the public safer, because it doesn't. I mean, just look what happened in San Francisco with the Kate Steinle incident. Right? Now they get away with murder. And literally get away with murder, and they know it. A white guy wouldn't get away with that at all. Would have not got off anywhere near as easy as that guy got off. The NSA Executive Director Jonathan Thompson said that America's sheriffs are saddened and disappointed that Governor Brown has signed this reckless bill into law. This law has turned police into political pawns, but they remain determined to protect the public, Thompson said. He also called on lawmakers to pass legislation that would free law enforcers from being hindered like this. These are political, careless gamesmanship. That's all it is, he said. He went on to say, it's unfortunate that California's law enforcement has become pawns in this political game, but they will continue to do their jobs diligently to protect communities. He says, we also implore our leaders in Washington to take action to pass sensible legislation that would prevent careless legislation from hamstringing law enforcement and would give them the tools to combat dangerous policies like this. He would, you know what? And the governor went on to pardon people that were here illegally. People that were in jail for committing felonies that were here illegally. They don't care. And that's what, you know, they sit there, they tell you how much they care and how much they want to make changes and what they want to do. It's not true. And remember, the California is run by Democrats. Totally run by Democrats. Our economy's in the tank. People are leaving the state. Businesses don't want to start up here. It's almost impossible to start up here. Where it takes you 2 years to build a McDonald's here. It only takes you 4 months to do it in Texas. So don't give me that everything's hunky-dory, fine, and wonderful. Because it's not. And the Dems here have drank the Kool-Aid. They haven't drank about a glass. They drank about a gallon. I think some of them are even taking it intravenously. I mean, we've got the highest taxes around. We've got more taxes coming. They want to tax us by the mile. We've got tax on top of tax. They're going to tax the tax. Seriously, they need money. Because they don't know how to keep it in their pocket. They don't know how to spend it on the stuff we told them to spend it on. I'm Joe Messina, your host, listening to Real Side on GCN Live. Don't go far. A lot more coming up after the break. Bill Federer will join us. Remember, it was pre-recorded, but you're going to love it.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
People search the internet for everything, including you. With a few clicks, information from your past can be quickly discovered, from business deals gone wrong to misleading reviews, negative articles, and unflattering images. Studies show 78% of people search for someone online before doing business with them. Will they find the real you? With ReputationDefender.com, you can establish a positive internet presence. ReputationDefender.com pioneered the field with over a decade of experience serving thousands of successful individuals and businesses. We use patented, award-winning systems to boost positive content and suppress negative material. Don't let the internet define you. Take control of your reputation today with ReputationDefender.com. For your quick, free reputation analysis, call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771, 800-831-0771, or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Do you ever go to school, stupid?
Yes, sir. And I come out the same way.
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side. Always a pleasure to have you on board with me. I so much appreciate the time you guys spend with me on the air, in the chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Always a pleasure. Like I said, hop up on the website. You can watch live, listen live, take the poll, get involved in the live chat room, all kinds of things. Smarter people than I are in the chat room. You'll see that when you hop up there. You'll figure it out when you get there. My next guest, I need to have him on more often because I always tell you people, I bring on the experts because I don't have a clue. I'm like you. I just guess. I read. I do a little research. It doesn't mean I know what I'm talking about. You got to check me out. Anyway, I've got Bill Federer on the line with me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, also a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. And people, it is noble. I'm so tired of hearing about what a bad country we are, how terrible we are, what we've done in the past. We've also helped more people in the past than I think, or more countries in the past than any other group of people on the planet. Bill, thanks for joining me today.
Joe, great to be with you.
You know, I get those knots in my stomach all the time when I hear about what we've done to people across the world, the terrible things we've done to the country as other countries. Are you serious? Do you know what we've done to help other countries across the world? We're losing our history, aren't we?
Well, we are, and Arthur Schlesinger was a historian on John F. Kennedy's staff, Pulitzer Prize winning, and he said, history is to the nation what memory is to the individual. So if you can imagine an individual who's lost their memory, maybe they have Alzheimer's, they forgot who they are, they forgot who you are, they can be taken advantage of pretty easily. Well, in America, we have lost our memory. Here we are, the freest and most prosperous country with more individual freedom and opportunity of any country that has ever existed from the beginning of human record keeping. And since we don't know our history, we're letting it slip through our fingers like sand.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's important that we get our memory back and realize that if we don't, we'll go back to the norm. People forget, the norm is what? Well, the most common form of government in all of recorded human history, hands down, is one thing. It's kings. And they go by different names: Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar, Maharaja, Genghis Khan, Ivan the Terrible, Alexander the Great, King Kamehameha, Montezuma, King of Spain, France, and Austria. I mean, here's the King Louis XIV, the Sun King of France. He said, I am the state. And it's this hierarchical system where if you are friends with the king, you're more equal. If you're not friends with the king, you're less equal. And if you're an enemy of the king, you're dead. It's called treason. So that's the norm, is kings. Like the Lord of the Rings, the movie, you know, everyone wants this ring of power. And so power wants to concentrate. I think it goes back to the fall in the garden and Cain killing Abel and selfishness coming into the human DNA. So you put some babies in a playpen, one of them takes the rattle from the others. Put some kids on a playground, one of them is the bully hogging the ball. Put some people in the woods, one of them is the Indian chief, and you put them in an inner city, one of them is the gang leader.
Mm-hmm.
And all a gang leader is, in a sense, a king is just a glorified gang leader. And so this the norm is that the rubber band wants to snap back, usually in times of crises, into the hands of one person. And this person says, well, I don't have time to wait. I want to do something good. Just give me a little more power to do it. And as the people naively give up a little more power, a little more power, a little more power, pretty soon you're back to a king.
Yeah. I think, and again, I'm not just picking on our young people, but go back to they don't understand what a representative government. I get in these arguments with people on social media and in interviews about the fact that we are not a democracy. There's a real big difference between a democracy and a representative government. But somehow over the years, it's been diluted down to every school child or every person coming out of school thinks that we live in a democracy. How did that happen?
Well, we really don't live in a democracy either, but I get what you're coming at. Democracy was invented by someone named Solon. So here's Athens, 594 BC, has a king named Draco, and he has the first written laws, which is a step up. Prior to then, the king would just rule on his whims and his caprices, how he felt that day. He's going to kill you, take your land. And they said, look, at least write these rules down. So he wrote them down, but it was the death penalty for every other thing. And so they were called draconian laws, because his name was King Draco, right? Very harsh laws. Well, then they get a new king named Solon, S-O-L-O-N. Solon. And Solon invented democracy and left town, so they had to do it. And in a democracy, everybody every day had to go to the market and talk politics. And if you didn't, you were called an idiotus, an idiot. He didn't know what's going on. But a democracy only ever worked on a city size, a city level. Because once it gets larger than a city, you can't be at the market every day, and you have to trust somebody else to tell you what's going on, and you got to trust that somebody to tell everybody else what you're really thinking, and the whole thing breaks down. So a democracy only works on a very small level where everybody gets to be there every day. Now, in a republic, you take care of your family and your farm, and you have someone in your place that goes to the market every day and talks politics. They are your res publica, in the place of your representative.
Right.
So in a representative form of government, it's called a republic, the people are the king ruling through their servants called representatives. So a representative form of government is the people are the king, and they have their servants called public servants. They're the ones. And but because we don't know that history, we're letting power snap back, and these servants are turning into the masters.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see that. And then, and again, I want to do this with you when I have you back on, but I want to talk about the original. I got an argument with a guy about the original intent for our forefathers on voting. There's this movement going across the country right now about voting, that illegals should be allowed to vote because the Constitution never actually says only citizens have the right to vote. This is the game they're playing. What they're saying is the Constitution says that the citizens will never be kept from voting. They have a right to vote, but it doesn't mean that others don't. Can you do it in a minute and a half?
Yeah, well, voting has always been on the state level, and the states decide who's going to be registered, who's going to vote. And it started with landowners. And you think, well, that's pretty terrible. No, because in a monarchy, it's just the king that votes. There's only one vote in a monarchy, the king. And so what happened was, when Virginia was founded, the king sent over a royal governor, but said, I'm not going to dump any more money in this Virginia colony because it's bankrupt. You're going to have to raise your own money. And so this royal governor gets the landowners together and says, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you need to cough up some money for me. And so they get together in the House of Burgesses. The Burgess means borough or neighborhood, and there's about 20-some out of them at 20-some different neighborhoods, and they get the landowners together, and they vote as to who's going to come up with how much money to pay this royal governor. Well, then they say, well, you know, we got to fix this road, and we got to defend against the Indians, and we got to do this, that, and the other. And so it backdoored them into a legislative assembly where they got to vote, but it was still this top-down thing. And then it turned into landowners could vote. And you think, well, if you're going to vote for taxes and you have somebody that does not own land, does it make sense that somebody that doesn't own anything, he's always going to vote to tax the other people? And so, so it got to the place where you could vote if you had a certain amount of money, if you were had Bill, something invested.
I want you to hold that thought. I'm going to go for a quick commercial, but let's finish it up on the other side. Then I want to get to Justice Scalia and the real effect this is going to have on America. I'm Joe Mancini, your host. Listen to The Real Side. William Federer joins me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of AmeriSearch. We'll be back in a minute.
J&M Enterprises is a full-service screen printing company. They print on shirts, pants, hats, cups, frisbees, sports bags, sweatshirts, tote bags, and most any other promotional items. J&M has been family-owned and operated for over 25 years. J&M takes pride in providing high-quality products and services because we care. Our state-of-the-art equipment enables us to print high volume with superior quality on any job. We print on clothing lines for schools, businesses, sports teams, and bands nationwide. Our team is committed to total customer satisfaction and the quality you should expect from a professional screen printing company. J&M, family owned and operated. Give us a call. We guarantee a great product and a great price. 800-462-0002. For a price quote, 800-468-0002. Or go to the web at www.jnm.cc.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey Guy provides the lowest price filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink three or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTC pain info. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Truth.
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side. Very much appreciate the time you spent with me on the air in the chat room, texting, tweeting, and being part of the conversation. 855-REAL-JOE, 855-732-5563. Head up to the website, thereelside.com. You can watch live, listen live, take the poll. You can, all kinds of stuff that you can do up on the website. Live chat room going on up there as well, too. I'm going to get right back to my guest. I've got Bill Federer on the line with me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch. It's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Joe.
I want to finish up your thought. You know, we were talking about who gets the vote, and I keep arguing with people about the fact that, you know, non-citizens, right, illegals, they don't get the right to vote. They never did.
You're correct. And so voting was up to each individual state to decide. Some states had religious requirements. During the colonial era, William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, said anyone who believes in God can come into the state, and anyone who's a Christian can vote in the state. And so they realized that they wanted to have this fear of God, that people wouldn't do corrupt things and think they could get away with it. Well, finally, white males could vote. And then after the Civil War, Republicans pushed through the 13th Amendment to give freed slaves the right to vote. Democrats did not want to give freed slaves the right to vote. Republicans pushed through the 14th Amendment and the 15th Amendment, making sure there was no discrimination at the polling place. And then the anti-slavery movement turned into the women's suffrage movement. And in the middle 1800s, different countries, Sweden, Finland, Britain, and eventually America, gave women the right to vote. And it was the 19th Amendment passed in 1920, and Susan B. Anthony was one of the leaders of that. And then it went into letting, matter of fact, many Muslim countries still don't allow women to vote. It was Iraq in 1980 allowed them to vote. Of course, there's not much of Iraq left nowadays. But even, you know, Oman and Kuwait, it was 2005 that Kuwait finally let women vote. But again, some of the Sharia areas still don't let women vote. And then it went to letting those on Indian reservations vote, and then people in Washington, D.C. vote, because they were not a state, so to speak. And and finally, Nixon pushed through allowing 18-year-olds to vote. But what happened is the more people that are voting, the more it switched from an intelligent swaying of people to manipulating public opinion. And that's what we have today.
I'm with you. I can't stand these people who want to go vote. They don't even know who belongs to what party, who the VP is. They have no real clue as to the basic makeup of the government. But they don't want to waste their vote. They don't realize by casting an uninformed vote, they are wasting their vote. But let's do the Scalia thing, because I don't want to miss out on this. You know, Scalia's death, a major blow. Not, I don't want to say to conservatives. I want to say it's a major blow to upholding the pure sense of law in the Constitution. Am I wrong?
Right. Well, forget that prior to the middle 1800s, there were no law schools. If you wanted to be a lawyer, you would get a job with a lawyer and apprentice for several years until you figured it all out. Then you would go before the bar where there would be different judges and they would quiz you. Then they had the Harvard Law School started in the middle 1800s. And finally, in the late 1800s, there was a change with Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. And a guy named Herbert Spencer began to say, well, gee, let's apply evolution to other areas of academia, including law. And so you had Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr., Supreme Court Justice. He came up with legal realism that said, hey, forget what the founders intended and forget reading Blackstone. Forget that. You just have the law be what the public opinion can swallow. And then that influenced the Harvard Law professor, Christopher Columbus Langdell, and he invented the case precedent theory of law that says we could care less what the founders meant. You just take the most recent case and you bend this piece of rebar a little bit at a time until it's finally going in the opposite direction. And so we have two different kinds of judges on the Supreme Court. One basically was what Scalia was, and that's let's go back to the founders and see what their intent was. You have these others that say we could care less what the intent was. We're just going to try to bend this thing to our agenda. And so that's what we have right now, and that's why there's this very serious concern over what the next justice put on the Supreme Court. Is it someone that's going to respect, you know, if you do a contract, you buy a house, and then the other person, you know, wants to sue you and come after you for some more money. What do? You pull out the contract, and you say, well, this is what it says. This is what these words mean. You can't charge me more than what it says here. And they're like, oh, we don't care about that. We're just going to say, well, you know, these surrounding houses, they're charging more, so we're just going to start charging you more. So you can't do that. Well, it's evolved. And see, so our brains say, no, you stick with the meaning. But now we have these new evolutionary activist justices that says we could care less what the real intent of the founders was. We're just pushing an agenda, and we're going to push it as hard as the public opinion will swallow.
You know, to get away from the nasties for just one second, kind of go sideways on you, it's really interesting to see the quote-unquote rank and file being so nasty towards Scalia, yet the people that actually worked with him, and even people totally opposite, 180 degrees of how he voted, talked about what a brilliant guy he was, what a caring guy he was, what a giant of the court that he was. And I don't believe it's all lies. I believe that some of it is very true, that these people had a lot of respect for the man, even though they didn't agree with him. You think that's the case?
Yes, yes. I met Scalia, gave one of my books. I was very impressed with him. I've met a couple of the other Supreme Court justices. But the other side is pushing an agenda. And it is, in a sense, they're not content with coming out of the closet. They want to shove you into it. And, you know, law. This goes back to Samuel Rutherford. He wrote Lex Rex. What does that mean? Lex means law, and Rex means king. Like Tyrannus Rex means the king of the lizards, the dinosaur. And so the idea was, is the king the law, that his will is the law, or is the king under the law, and the law is superior to the king? And the only way it can be superior is if the law has some divine root to it. Harry S. Truman, in his inaugural address, said, we believe all men are created equal because we're created in the image of God. If there's no God, who decides who's equal? The government does. What if you get a communist in charge of the government, and they got this utilitarian ethic where your worth is dependent on your ability to contribute to the society? And if you cannot contribute, well, gee, you're not worth anything. Or you have an Islam that's in charge of the government, and they decide that Muslim males are superior to females and superior to infidels and kafirs. And so what if you get a Hitler in charge of the government, and he decides Jews are not equal? And so the idea, even here, Franklin Roosevelt said, our enemies hate our form of government. Our values go back to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. All men are created in the image of God. And so this idea that we each have this quality, irregardless of what we can contribute to society, or if we're born into a certain caste level or a class, or we're useful to the state. Another Democrat president, John F. Kennedy, in his inaugural address, he said, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Right, it says in the Declaration, all men are endowed by their creator. Well, if there is no creator, who gives you rights? The government. You're right. He says, John F. Kennedy, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, from the hand of God. Well, if there is no God, the rights come from the generosity of the state. Well, what the state giveth, the state can taketh awayeth. And so if you want to have rights the government cannot take away, there must be a source for your rights higher than the government. And the founder said it was the creator. So even if you don't believe he's there, you want the government to think he's there so you can claim you have rights from a source they cannot take away from.
Bill, what's funny about a lot of this, though, too, is and I watch social media because I love to watch these guys kind of get in these circular conversations. But, you know, now they're saying that some of those things that we hear that the founding fathers say really wasn't necessarily true, though they said it, but that guys like you and I have pulled together bits and pieces and tried to tie them together. When in reality, I've seen some of these letters that the founding fathers have written to each other. I have seen the comments they've made to each other about God, about Christianity, about Christ. And my fear is what we talked about earlier. Our young people don't even know when we gained independence, who we gained it from. In another 50 years, they're going to be taught that God was nowhere in the equation at all from day one.
Well, you know, I have written on this for about 20 years. I send out a daily email called American Minute. People can sign up for it at AmericanMinute.com. But just a quick background, Europe was all Catholic.
All right.
And then it
hold
was invaded.
That. Let's go. I want to give you a full run on this one, okay? So just hold on. We'll go to a quick break. When we come back, I want you to run with this, okay? I'm Joe Messina, your host. You're listening to The Real Side. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening on USA Radio Network. It's always a pleasure to have you with me. Hop up on the website, therealside.com, where you can watch live, listen live. You can take the poll. There's a lot going on up there. We'll be back in a minute. My guest, Bill Federer. Don't go far.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh, my gosh. That's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
Well, I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenics commercials.
Oh, yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenics really work?
Oh, yeah. I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenics.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenics, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenics. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
I guess you can sum it up in two words.
What's that?
Get involved.
We are back. You're listening to The Real Side, not the right side, not the wrong side, but The Real Side. Always a pleasure to have you with me. Head up on the website, therealside.com. You can watch live, listen live, take the poll, lots you can do. You are listening on USA Radio Networks, and I do appreciate the time that you spend with me. Jeez, every day, every week, I appreciate the emails that you send me and all of that. So don't stop. Keep them coming. I always appreciate them. Let me know you're listening. Bill Federer joins me. He's a nationally known speaker, best-selling author, and president of Amerisearch, a publishing company that's dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. Bill's American Minute radio feature is broadcast daily across America and on the Internet. Bill, thanks so much for joining me today.
Great to be with you.
All right, you were going into how I think in 20 years, 30 years, I don't even know if our young people are going to understand that God was at the center of what our founding fathers were trying to do.
Well, that's interesting. I was looking at Europe, and I've written several books on this. Europe was Catholic, and then it was invaded by Muslims. and the Muslims conquered all of Egypt. Egypt used to be Christian, evangelized by Mark, that wrote the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, mm-hmm. until the Muslim leader Amir ibn Alas conquers it. Syria used to be Christian, evangelized by the Apostle Paul, until the Muslim leader Caliph Umar conquers it. Jerusalem used to be Christian until it was conquered. There used to be 250 Catholic dioceses along North Africa until they were conquered by the Umayyad Muslims. Then they crossed and conquered Spain, held it for 700 years, and then they came around the other side, and they invaded into what is today Turkey, but it was the Byzantine Christian Empire. It was all conquered by the Muslim Turks, and they destroyed all seven churches mentioned in the Book of Revelation. Anyway, they finally are surrounding Vienna, Austria, and the Holy Roman Emperor is Charles V of Spain. He's Catholic. He's faced with a double dilemma. The Reformation, started in 1517 by Martin Luther, and the Muslim invasion surrounding Vienna, Austria, with 100,000 troops in 1529. And so Charles V decides to strike a deal with the Protestants. It's the first treaty ever to recognize Protestants. It's called the Peace of Augsburg of 1555. And in this Peace of Augsburg, there is a little Latin phrase that had huge repercussions. What was the phrase? Cuius regio, eius religio, which means whose is the reign, his is the religion. In other words, look, Protestant king, believe whatever you want in your kingdom. Let's just work together against these Muslims because they want to invade and kill us all. And it worked. They stopped the Muslim invasion, but it started a domino effect in the next century where different kings decided to believe slightly different things. England was Anglican. Scotland was Presbyterian. Holland was Dutch Reformed. Northern Germany and Sweden were Lutheran. Switzerland, Calvinist. And if you did not believe the way your king did, you were persecuted and you fled. And so there was this mass migration of people shifting around Europe simply for conscience sake. It was one Christian denomination per country. And again, if you didn't believe the way your king did, you fled. And so these were the ones that spilled over and founded colonies in America. So Spain had a monopoly on the New World for 100 years until its Spanish Armada was sunk, 1588. And so the other European countries decided to have an Oklahoma land rush. It's, let's hurry up and stake our claim in the New World. So you had New England and New Hampshire and New Scotland, Nova Scotia and New France and, you know, New Sweden, which became Delaware and New Jersey. And so every colony in America was started by a different Christian denomination. Virginia was Anglican from 1606 to 1786. Massachusetts was a Puritan colony. Rhode Island was a Baptist colony. New York was a Dutch Reformed colony. Maryland was a Catholic colony. Pennsylvania was a Quaker colony. Connecticut and New Hampshire were Congregationalist colonies. And New York was a Dutch Reformed colony.
Your information has to be wrong, because all I ever hear on social media was that our founding fathers came here, you know, people came here to get away from religion.
Well, that's not supported by the facts. And so these different colonies started by different Christian denominations, their attitude was, if you don't like our denomination, fine, start your own colony. And so they would chase each other out of each other's colonies the same way in Europe they were chasing each other out of each other's countries. But then the Revolutionary War started, and they all had to work together against the King of England. After the Revolution, their attitude was, we may not agree on religion all the time, but you were willing to fight and die for my freedom. I need to let you practice your faith. And so that's when they began to tolerate each other. And first Protestants, then Catholics, then Jews, and so forth. So I read through every state constitution and found that the original constitution for 9 states required you to be a Protestant Christian to hold state office.
Yep.
So here is South Carolina's 1778 constitution. The Christian Protestant religion is hereby deemed the established religion of this state. I've actually talked to attorneys that said, well, if they wanted America to be a Christian nation, why didn't they just say so in the Constitution? I go, duh, they did. They're state constitutions. And the Christian Protestant religion is deemed the established religion of this state, South Carolina. North Carolina's original 1776 constitution said every office holder had to make a declaration of belief in the Christian religion. And then in 1835, they changed it to a declaration of belief. First it was Protestant, and then it was Christian. In 1835, it switched from Protestant to Christian. And then you had some New Hampshire. You had to be a Protestant, the whole state office, up until 1877. And then you look at Maryland was a liberal state. It said all you had to do was be a Christian to hold state office. You think that's liberal? Yeah, because by saying Christian, you could be any denomination of Protestant and even Catholic. And another liberal state was Ben Franklin, who signed Pennsylvania's Constitution, that said all you had to do was believe in the divine inspiration of the Old and New Testament to hold state office. And then the most liberal state was the most evangelical. Rhode Island, founded by Baptists, it was the only state that had zero religious requirements to hold office. They said that if you required someone to be a Christian, they could say they were just to get elected, and that would be hypocritical. Could you imagine someone saying they're Christian just to get elected? There was 3 million people in America, 98% Protestant, a little less than 2% Catholic. Catholics were only allowed in three colonies, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New York, and they didn't even have full rights in those. And there was only 1,500 Jews in a country of 3 million people, only 7 synagogues in the whole country. And so then, so 9 states you had to be a Protestant, 3 states you could just be a plain Christian, and then the one state said that there was no requirements. Well, then there was an Irish potato famine. And millions of Irish Catholics came to America in the early 1800s. The Catholic percent went from 2% to 20%. There was a large anti-Catholic backlash, and finally it settled down. And that's when many states changed to saying, instead of being Protestant, just be Christian. And then there was a persecution of Jews in Bavaria. And they came across, and states changed their constitutions. Like Maryland's 1851 state constitution said every office holder had to make a declaration of belief in the Christian religion. And in 1851, they added, and if the party shall profess to be a Jew, the declaration shall be of a belief in a future state of rewards and punishments. So as of 1851, Jews and Christians could hold office in the state of Maryland. And then 1868, after the Civil War, many states rewrote their constitutions to say all you had to do was believe in God. So here's North Carolina. Prior to 1868, the state constitution required you to be a Christian. After 1868, the state said all you had to do was believe in God. And so you drop a pebble in the pond, the ripples go out. So religion was under state's jurisdiction, and like a racetrack with 13 lanes, some states were advancing religious freedom a little faster, and some states were dragging behind. But it was up to the states to decide. Some states had blue laws where things were closed on Sundays. Some states, like today, had smoking bans. Others didn't. Some had gambling. Others didn't. Some allowed gay marriage. Others didn't. Some allowed minors to drink alcohol. Some allowed, you know, and so it's up to the states to decide laws governing personal behavior. The federal government only did what the states couldn't do, and that was regulate interstate commerce and protect the borders, right, as to provide for the common defense. All the rest of the laws were under the state's jurisdiction. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, listen, the more and more I learn from guys like you and from history itself is the states had much more, or were intended, were supposed to have much more power. And at this point in time in history, or as I see it, the states actually have less power than they were intended to have.
Yeah, and so George Mason was one of the writers of the U.S. Constitution, and he refused to sign the Constitution. And you think, why not? He did not think there were enough limits on the power of the federal government. And so he insisted that they push through limits. And they did. And he's called the father of the Bill of Rights. So the Bill of Rights is simply 10 handcuffs placed on the power of the federal government. And so if anyone decides to read the preamble to the Bill of Rights. We all think of, okay, there's the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. There's the, you know, well, let's read the preamble of the Bill of Rights. And it says, at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, there was a concern that the government would get too powerful, and so we want to put further restrictive clauses to prevent the abuse of power. And so the Ten Amendments are handcuffs on the federal government. It's easy to understand that because that's what it says. Congress shall make no law. Who's limited by that? I think the federal Congress. Congress shall make a law respecting the establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, nor taking away the freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of right to trial by your peers, freedom of right to possess and bear arms. They wanted to tie this federal Frankenstein up so it would not become a big, you know, monster like King George III, where they just broke away from. And there's a great quote from Eisenhower, and he talked about
We are up against the time, but I gotta bring you back next week. Like somebody grabbed a book out of my hand. I need to know what the ending is. Sheldon Cena, your host. Bill, really quick, tell people where they can get more information about you and hear your daily features.
Thanks, Joe. My website is AmericanMinute.com, and I send out a free daily email. So AmericanMinute.com.
And that's great. And again, I so much appreciate your time with me today. I'm Joe Messina, your host. You listen to The Real Side.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?